Rabbanim Shlita. Wow. So much to talk about. The biggest chesaron with Rabbanim is that the second they have so much to talk about, they don't stop talking. So. I want to try tonight to step in, if you may, into Yaakov Avinu, into his ruach, into his psyche, into his challenges. Yaakov Avinu, the Bechira Avos, the ultimate of ultimates. Standing in Kislev, actually sitting in Kislev. It's the middle of the winter's man. I want to start off with a story. Maril Diskin, who is known as the sheriff from Brisk, based on a chazal which relates to Yaakov Avinu, says the following story. Him and his chavrusa, which was a very big Talmud Chacham, they were sitting down and learning, and they got to a sugya that they didn't chap, they would do chazar. And again chazar, nacham al chazar. But if they got to a point that it really didn't shtim, it didn't work, it didn't make any sense. But based on a chazal, vis-a-vis Yaakov Avinu, and we'll get to that chazal in a second, but we close the Gemaras, each of them go to a separate corner and start davening and crying. And crying yet a little bit more, and then they would go back to the sugi after that, and try it again. And the Maril Diskin says that he's made ke'elef edim, 1,000 witnesses, that every time, the next time they approached the sugi, they chapped. They had a new chiddush, a new insight, a new mahalach. What chazal? Yaakov Avinu talks about Charbi v'kashti. And Chazal Darshan, Charbi zut Torah, Kashti zut Tefillah. And if you think about it, the difference between a sword and a bow and arrow is very simple. And there's two. A sword is sharp, to the point, accurate, but only has an impact on the radius of a couple of feet. An arrow goes far, hits the point in a faraway distance. Ki becharbi zut Torah, bekashti zut Tefillah, means that essentially in Avodas Hashem, and now during the winter, and we're in winter in many ways. Now during the winter, during the Choshech, a person has to understand that in his Avodas Hashem, he's got to focus on two components. He needs the accuracy, He needs the sharpness. But he also has to reach far. It's got to penetrate in a very long distance. It's the combination of both aspects that gives us the beginning of the insight into Yaakov Avinu. Imagine Yaakov running away from Esav, hitting Lavan, running away from Lavan, back into the hands of Esav. And the psukim clearly describe the emotions that Yaakov Avinu was going through. V'haya im yavo Esav el ha-machane ha-echad v'ikau v'haya ha-machane ha-notar l'flita. Yaakov is convinced that he's about to lose a large part of his mishpacha. Yaakov b'chinas ma'isav o simon l'bonim, having a vision into the future of the Jewish history till today, in his penetrating insight, Yaakov realizes that Esav is going to chase him and chase him to death and chase him to the end. And Yaakov Avinu prepares himself to send a message to Esav. And the message he sends is in love on Garti. That's the message that Yaakov Avinu sends to Esav. And Chazal point out, in love on Garti, anybody remember Chazal? That's the second pshat in Chazal and Rashi. Im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. Anybody remember the first pshat in Rashi? Ger, who's that? Shkoyev. Ger v'toshav ha'iti. Im lovan garti ger v'toshav ha'iti. Im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. There's a fundamental difference in approach of the message that Yaakov Avinu is sending to Chazal, and in my mind, a fundamental difference to the insight of who Yaakov Avinu is, and in my mind, a fundamental difference to the message tonight. In terms of our Avodas Hashem, could anybody explain to me why Yaakov Avinu would send a message to Esav that it was a ger v'toshav? Rashi actually says it himself. Anybody?
So that
exactly. Esav, you're chasing me to kill me because I stole the brachos? The brachos were meaningless. They didn't work. They did not work. I was a ger v'toshav. Our father said that I'm going to be a king, and all I was for the last 20 years was a slave. But can anybody explain to me what message Yaakov Avinu is sending Esav? Im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti? Anybody? Could you try? Does that make any sense? I imagine, if I was having an argument, two shon beplots, having an argument, who's firmer? What else does Shana Bet boys do? Who's firmer? Whose gartel is thicker? Who has longer pants? Who could say Shakla Vitari on 50 blot of Kedushin? So one of them would say to the other, "Im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti." That makes sense. But Yaakov is turning to Esav. Esav harasha, telling him, "Hey Esav, don't kill me. You know why? Because I'm firmer than you are." I was by Lavan, and I was Mikhaim all the mitzvahs of the Torah. What is going on? Who is Yaakov? And how does that Yaakov Avinu relate to us? How can we connect to the Bechira Avos? Yaakov is Midas HaEmes. Titein Emes LeYaakov. Okay. Chevra, I want to give you an insight to what I believe Yaakov is, and it's in this week's parsha. And it's a message even for Fabrega. And I mean that in the real sense. It's a message in the Torah part of the world. It's a message in the tefillah part of the world. But more important than all of that, it's the message in the combination of both of those kochos together. And listen carefully. Yaakov Avinu has a fight with Saro Shalesov. And the fight goes on Ad Alos HaShachar. Vayevater Yaakov levado, vayaveki shimo ad alos hashach. And the song goes on. V'nisgav Hashem levado bayom ahu. Chazal take this pasuk in so many different directions, but I want to go one step further. Malach begs Yaakov Avinu, release me, ki Allah Shachar. And Yaakov Avinu's response to him is what?
Bless me.
Bracheni. And what's the bracha? And moreover, Rabosai, this is the deepest insight to Yaakov Avinu that we have in the Farish Pasuk in the Torah. Lo yikare Yaakov ot shimcha kiyim. Kiyim? That's a good choice. Yisrael. Why? Why Yisrael? Ki sarita. Vimanashim vatucha. Lo yikare od Yaakov shimcha kiyim Yisrael. Why? Ki sarita im Elohim v'im anashim v'tucha. The essence of Yaakov Avinu is the capability of combining between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human. The capability of merging these two olamos, which we struggle with so much. The world which is kulo ruach, the world which is kulo spirit, and the world which is kulo guf. The insight into Avodas Hashem is to merge these worlds together. How do I take the Elohim and the Anashim? And more important than that, the Tuchal. Am Yisrael Chai. What is Am Yisrael? Who are we? Who are you? Ki sarita im Elohim v'manashim v'tuchal. That's who we are. We could eat this. I was about to say junk, but I'll be positive. Super junk. We could eat this during a experience of Avodas Hashem and succeed somehow. Go through Ruchni Yizdik experience, even though we're merging between the Gashmias and the Ruchnias together. That's why Yaakov is Bechira Avos. Yaakov is Bechira Avos because the emes that he represents is not just honesty, it's not just purity, it's the capability of the biggest mission of the human being in this world, the biggest mission of us, of Am Yisrael. Ki sarita im Elohim v'manashim v'tuchal. Combining both the Gashmias and the Ruchnias together. That's what Yisrael represents. That's who we are. And you know what? In my mind, that's the message of Im Lavan Garti v'tayad v'tzor Jemarati. And here I'm going to take a 30-second step back And the 32nd step back is Yaakov Avinu is telling Esav, not that the brachos didn't work, but that the brachos were mine. The brachos were mine! Ima was right! Rivka was right! Yitzchak was wrong! The Yitel Elohim Yitel HaShamayim U'mishmarei Haaretz is mine. Why is it mine? Why is it mine? Ki sarita im Elohim im Anashim HaTuchal. I started off as the Ishtam Yoshev O'olim. But today, I'm no longer the Ishtam Yoshev O'olim. Today, I'm in love on Garti, the Tariag Mitzvot Shamarti. I went out to Lavan. I went out to Golis for 20 years. Cheated, lied, slaved, worked, Yom Valayla, all in Gashmias. But I succeeded to still be in Lavan Garti, the Tariag Mitzvot Shamarti. Fundamental machlokas in Chazal. How to approach Esav. Esav, I'm sorry I stole the brachas, but they were worthless. Esav, I'm sorry I stole Eretz Yisrael, but it was worthless. Or Esav, I stole the brachas, but they were really mine. I didn't really steal them. I really deserve them. Ki sarita im Elohim v'im anashim v'tuchal. Chaver, it's a serious time. It's a serious time in the history of Am Yisrael. We can't ignore what's going on in the whole world. We definitely cannot ignore what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And we have a shlichus at this time. We as each and every one of us as a yachid, and we as us as a yeshiva, as a base medrash, as a tzibur. There's a lot on our shoulders. And the mission and the message is Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael Chai. Old Avinu Chai in the ultimate sense. But in the ultimate sense of the message of Yaakov Bchira Avos. Ki sarita im Elohim im Anashim v'tuchal. That's a hard mission. It's a hard job. It's not so easy to be a Ben Am Yisrael. But it's the essence of what life is all about. And here we are in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis Knesset, on a winter evening, singing and learning Torah, and having a very deep tefillah. And the deep tefillah is to be part of this awesome heritage of Am Yisrael, to be proud of this awesome mission of somehow succeeding to take two conflicting energies of our entity and combine them into one source, into one power, to succeed in using the guf to energize the ruach, and sometimes using the ruach to energize the guf, to succeed in using Elohim and Malachim and Anashim to succeed in building ourselves in that direction. But we have a Ma'akev. Chazal call it the Se'or Sheba Isa. We have something that prevents us. We have something that takes us down. We have some sort of internal energy that dilutes the capability of focusing on this mission and moving in this direction. And here, I want to get a little bit practical, not just theoretical and philosophical, but also very practical. And I have a Dvar Torah that I've been saying in yeshiva for years. Actually, I want to point this out. This is my 25th year in Shaarei Mevaseret Tzion. I actually joined when I was in diapers. Actually, my makom was there in the back, sitting and learning with a few chevra. And the vart is as follows. And please bear with me, because I'm going to bring it back home to the message of who Yaakov Avinu was. Chazal, Gemara Maseches Chulin, has a very, very strange message. And the Gemara's question is, what was Yaakov Avinu doing on the other side of the river? Why was Yaakov Avinu suddenly alone? And the Gemara says that he went back for pachim ktan, for pots and pans. Pots and pans. Then the Gemara goes ahead and says, "Lilandicha, it's coming to teach you. Shetzadikim mamonam chaviv aleihem igufam shelo pashtu yadam begezel. Tzadikim, their money is more valuable than their bodies because they worked hard for their money. It didn't come easy. They didn't steal. There was no ribbis. They had a sweat. And I'm sorry to be the apikoros tonight. It's bad enough that I'm the litvak tonight. I also have to be the apikoros tonight. I'm sorry to be apikoros tonight. But what? Give me a break. A real break. Yaakov Avinu, what the world's wrong with you? A pasuk right before tells us your whole strategy. Split the family into two. Esav is going to kill one. At least I'm going to have the other one. V'ayah machane ano taro l'plita. You have one mission right now, Yaakov Avinu. Just one. Go from one camp to the other camp. Say Tehillim with this camp. Learn Mishnayos with this camp. Be the psychologist in this one. Hug and kiss this one. Come on, if you're terrified, imagine what your wife and kids are going through. What type of mission? Pots and pans? Pachim ktanim? Going on. And Chevra, I believe that Chazal have been critical on Yaakov Avinu. This is not l'amdecha shetzadikim mamonim chaviv alam gufa. I think this is a musr shmuz to Yaakov Avinu. And a very strong musr shmuz. Yaakov Avinu, it is only pachim ktanim. Where are your priorities? Yes, it's got value. Yes, you've worked very hard for them. Yes, they're up there on your priority list. But after it's all said and done, it's only pachim ktanim. Just pachim ktanim. Just pots and pans. What's with the ayam achane and otar liflita? Chevra, how often are we sitting down in Beis Medrash, which is our mission this year? That's it. Our parents cut a tremendously large check. We took a year off of school, or 2 years off, to sit down and come to Eretz Yisrael, and to connect to our Mesorah, and to sit down in Shtaig. And we're sitting down in Beis Medrash, and we're finally getting into it, and working on a Tosfos, and we're trying to get into Pshat, and we have a Kasha, and then suddenly a text message. It's from somebody important. It's even valuable. Maybe funny. Maybe even sad. Maybe even Choshev. But vis-a-vis what we're doing right now, it's just Pachim Ketanim. It's only pachim ktanim. It's important. It's up there. But chaver, let's prioritize. Let's put the energy to work on our Torah. Let's put the energy to work on our benada l'chavera. Let's put the energy to work on our chesed. Let's put the energy to work on our tefillah. Let's put the energy to work on ourselves. To accept ourselves. To merge and balance between the Elohim and the Anashim. Let's dig deeper to get there. And you know what Yaakov Avinu was thinking? I'm going to tell you what he's thinking. And you know how I know this? Because everyone in this room thinks that way when the Pachim Tanim come up. Because it's the natural human thought. I'm just going to go out for 2 minutes and take this call. I'm just going to go back to the dorms for 5 minutes to put my clothes from the washer to the dryer. I'm just going to go make a call to find myself a place for Shabbos. I'm just going to go say the joke to my friend sitting next to me because it's sitting on my head. I'm just going to shoot a few hoops. All valuable actions. All valuable. But all pachim k'tanim. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And I'll be re-energized. And already in focus. And you know what we learned from Yaakov Avinu? Vayavek ishimo ad alos ha-shachar. It's not 5 minutes. The night's gone. It's over. Finished. Finito la commedia, literally. It's over. That's message number one. And you know what message number two is? Yaakov Avinu was limping. He's not the same man anymore. And I'm giving you an insurance. And I'm telling you this out of a lot of experience, but it's pashut pshat in psukim and in chazal. When you go out for those 5 minutes, when you go out with that hesech hadas, when you get involved in those pachim katana, you're never the same man. You come back, not 5 minutes later, usually 45 minutes later, and you sit down and you're spaced out and you're gazing in a different direction. And you can't refocus. And suddenly the pshat and tosis, which was almost there, you got the kasha. Suddenly that part of tefillah, which suddenly you felt the roman musaruach, and you felt tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Then you spaced out. There's some stupidity. It's not there. It's not there. And the more you try, and this is already classic human psyche, the less chances you have to actually get there. However, we have a mission. And the mission is bigger and greater than us. It's bigger than greater than us Yedidya. It's bigger than greater than us Yeshiva Charim of Aseret Zion. It's Am Yisrael Chai! That's the mission. Each and every one of us is going to be a manig of Am Yisrael. Each and every one of us has responsibility for the future of Am Yisrael. It's not just you. It's just you right now. Because that's the way to get there. But your obligation and your mission is for Doros and Dore Doros of Am Yisrael. Ki Sarita im Elohim v'anashim v'atuchal. Realize that every second counts. Realize that every minute counts. Realize that every tosfos counts, that every tefillah counts, and every midah counts, and every benadam l'chavero concept counts, and every chesed counts. It's all bringing you and building you, and bringing us and building us. Us in the greater sense of the word. Anyways, something great. Remember, life has a lot of values, and many of them are important. But even if they're important, they might only be pachim k'tanim. And remember that even if you think it's just for a minute. Thanks. Thank you very much. Even if you think it's just for a minute, you're going to be out alone, Sashachar. And even if you think you're going to come back bigger and stronger, you're probably going to be limping. That's probably what's going to happen. It's time to realize that we're ready to move on. It's time to realize that that ongoing existential struggle of Elohim v'Anashim is part of who we are. It's time to realize that we have an opportunity here which is literally an opportunity of a lifetime. And it's time to realize that that opportunity of a lifetime is not just for us. It's for Doros and Dorei Doros of Klal Yisrael. So take it all. Sponge it all up. The Eon and the Bekiyas, the Chassidus and the Musar, the Halacha and the Midos, the Tefillah and the Chevra. The great Rav Chaim's Chiddush and the beautiful Fabring. Take it all. Merge it all. Use it all. Realize that this is the stage of crying and saying, I'm here. Hineni. Hineni. I am ready. As the song goes, and this I'm giving my age because this is probably 125 years. Hineni, I am ready to serve you with love. Hineni, I am ready to be here, to merge these two kochos. Hineni, I understand that even in love on Garti, Tariag mitzvot shamarti. Hineni, I understand that even if I have itel chaloyim itel shamayim mishmani aretz, at the end of the day, my Rashi and Tosfos is what's going to lead my life. Hineni, I am ready to be part of Yisrael. Ki sarita imana Elohim imana shim lepochal. Hineni, I'm Yisrael Chai. And we are the proof. And we will be the proof for many, many more years to come. Hineni. Hineni, O Davinu Chai. Hineni. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. We should be Zoche as Yechidim and as Tzibur to really merge this all together and identify those and which is the Pachim Ketanim and identify that which is Moshe Emes, the Saras Emes.
So long, it's been a dream. To have all the Rosh Hashivas in America to take the Sicha and turn it into a Farbrengen. Last year we weren't able to do it. Baruch Hashem, this year a little more Chassidus has crept into the Yeshiva. We're a little bit closer and closer. Baal Shem Tov said that when his Torah would be revealed in the world, Sheyafutzu Aymeinu Sechecha Chutza, that when the wellsprings of his Torah would overflow, that would be a simon that Mashiach is coming. And if the Rosh Hashiva could see us here today, he would know Mashiach is mamish on his way. And mamish co-opted the Sicha. What a beautiful victory for Chassidus. This is just my revenge for all the times that the Rosh Hashiva rips on my Tanya Shir and for all those Shanapek guys that he convinced to leave last year. Revenge is a dish best served cold. I'm just joking, I have tremendous respect for the Litvaks. Especially that 7'3" Litvak in New York who keeps dropping 20 and 10. We're holding now by Chanukah. We really have to start putting ourselves in that frame of mind of Chanukah. It's a funny thing. When you look in the deeper Svarim, in Sefer Bereishis, you always see all these references to Chanukah hidden beneath the surface. We know that before the world was created, there was a very bright light that shined for 36 hours. And Rashi says that light was hidden away for the tzaddikim, loss of lavo. And we know that those 36 hours are connected, the 36 neros that we light on Chanukah. We know that by Akedas Yitzchak, when Avram Avinu sees Har HaMoriah, and he recognizes that there's something special going on over there by Har HaMoriah. And Yitzchak also sees it, but Yishmael and Eliezer, they can't see it. So Avram Avinu says, Shvu lechem poem achamor, you stay here with the donkey. Ve'ani ve'hanar ne'achad ko. Me and the child will go to ko, to go over there. And we know that the deeper Svarim bring down that ko, Schafhei, the Bechina of Chanukah, that Yontif of the 25th. Rav Yedidya was giving his drasha that I've heard him give so many times before. I was zoche to hear it as a bachur 17 years ago. The drasha of the Pachim Ketanim. We know the Shach brings down that pach that Yaakov Avinu went back for was the same pach that they ultimately found in the Chanukah miracle, where they found that one jug of oil that was the jug that Yaakov Avinu went back for. And we know by Yosef HaTzadik, there's so many references to Chanukah. Yosef in the pit. Yosef always finding Malucha wherever he goes, the Machus of the Chashmonaim. The whole story, the whole Sefer Bereishis, you find so many references to Chanukah. And the question is, what's Chanukah doing in all these places? There's a Machlaikas between Yavan and Klal Yisrael. Between the Assyrians and the Greeks and us, we've been waging this war for many years. The Yevanim didn't tell us not to keep mitzvos. Certain mitzvos they didn't want us to keep, but Derech Klal, the Yevanim were happy with our mitzvos. The Yevanim were happy with Jewish culture. Why not? Why not read Tehillim? What culture doesn't have poetry? Why not take the time to hang out with your family and to light Neros? How romantic is that, to light Neros on a Friday night? So romantic. And to spend time with your family, to turn off your phone. What's wrong with that? That was not the problem that they had with Klal Yisrael. The problem that they had with Klal Yisrael was that we were telling them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to keep mitzvahs. Jewish culture, that's fine. Make a Jewish culture club. Have Jewish theater. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do it. Purim was good old anti-Semitism. Purim, we know. There's Jews and there's Gentiles that want to kill us. That's a familiar story. But Hanukkah, Rebbe, is that really a war? It's also a war of Hanukkah. But the war of Hanukkah is not a physical war. It's a war for the soul. It's a war for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael says, we're not going to do a mitzvah because it's Jewish culture. We're not going to do a mitzvah because of tradition. Because my father did a mitzvah and his father did a mitzvah. We're going to do a mitzvah because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told us to do a mitzvah. That's what it means to live lifnim mishuras hadin. What does it mean to live lifnim mishuras hadin? What is lifnim? People got very nervous. Lifnim mishuras hadin, you're adding on things to the mitzvah. No, lifnim mishuras hadin means that you're living before the mitzvah. What comes before the mitzvah? Before the mitzvah is the mitzvah. Before the mitzvah is the mitzvah. It means before the commandment, there was a commander. There was somebody that told you to do that mitzvah. So a yid lives lifnim mishuras hadin. We don't just do the mitzvah. We're connecting to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that's found in that mitzvah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam that commanded us to do that mitzvah. In other words, a Jew begins where a Greek ends. Somebody who's Yavan believes in humanism. They believe in the body. That's why their gods all had incredible bodies and their statues had perfect form. Where they leave off is where we begin. A healthy body, beseder. That's good, it's important. But that's just the beginning of life. What about the one that invested you with life? The Rambam says that Aristotle reached the highest levels of intellect that a human being could reach without nevuah. But then there's something else called nevuah. There's something called transcendence. The counterfeit of transcendence was Greek sports, the Colosseum, the triumph of the physical over the physical. But that's not true transcendence. True transcendence is when a Jew sits in Beis Medrash, just him and a Tehillim, just him and a Gemara, just him and a Siddur, and just pouring out his heart to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not allowing his humanity to become something that blocks him from achieving connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What does it mean that we were looking for oil? We know the halacha is tumma hutcher betzibur. There was no problem. There was no problem at all with using the oil that they had in the Beis Hamikdash. Oil becomes tamei when it encounters a mace. But here it was tumma hutcher betzibur. So why were they searching? The Teretz is they were searching not for oil that wasn't Tamei. Lubavitcher Rebbe says they were searching for oil that hadn't been contaminated by Yavan. There was a certain type of oil that was contaminated by Yavan. It had humanistic tendencies. We needed to find oil that Yavon didn't touch. What does this mean, oil that Yavon didn't touch? So listen very carefully. And for this, you mamish need to open up your hearts a million miles wide. You can't listen to this Torah with your ears. You have to listen to this Torah with your soul. Why do we do what we do? What's a person's motivation? You look in psychology today, everyone wants to know what motivates people. What motivates people? How can we bring more motivation into our business? How can we create more motivation in families? Everything is about what motivates a person. Type in the words motivation and TED on YouTube and you'll get thousands of hits. Everybody's talking about motivation. And listen to the way they're talking about motivation. Listen to the Yavon of how they're talking about motivation. They're talking about find something that touches you deeply, that for selfish purposes will enhance your career, give a person a bonus, tell them that what they're doing is important, make them personally involved. And what's happening? We know that a little bit more motivation comes and then it drops off. A little bit more motivation comes and then it drops off. And here's why. Because personal motivation, by its very definition, human motivation is only human. Human motivation only has the capacity to be finite. Listen to the message of Chazal. When we were looking for that oil that wasn't contaminated by Yavon, that oil that burns that wick, because without the wick, without the oil, the wick can't last. The wick gets consumed. Listen to the message of Chazal. No! The oil is not what burns the wick. Don't look for that human motivation of what consumes something. There's something deeper about a person. Something much deeper about a person, which is what makes a person go. And this is what the whole world today is missing. And this is why Klal Yisrael Mamash needs to shout this message from the rooftops, to teach the whole world this lesson. Motivation is not personal. It's not just what about what's going to help me, what's going to help my family. Motivation is because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam planted a seed deep within me that is motivated. It's like, for example, the world today is talking about how do we find happiness? Do this and you'll find happiness. Do that and you'll find happiness. Tal Ben Shachar gives a class in Harvard on how to find happiness. A Yid knows that you don't have to find happy. You are happy. Happiness is planted deep within inside of ourselves. Motivation is planted deep inside of ourselves. It's called a Pintel Yid. It's called a spark that can never be extinguished. And listen carefully, Chevra. That's why for so many generations, it didn't matter how much we were persecuted. We survived. We didn't survive on personal motivation. We survived because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam put that inside of ourselves. He said, you are survivors. And there's so many stories. You don't need me to tell you all the stories. You've heard them a million times before. People in the concentration camps that would tear off little pieces of their baguette to make wicks and try to chop whatever fat they could get from the soup to make a little bit of oil. Chevra, you are living through a Hanukkah miracle right now. You didn't come to Eretz Yisrael in the year where everything was tranquil and everything was serene. You came to Eretz Yisrael in the year where one day after another we keep hearing tragedy after tragedy. You're here this year. You're not here in the easy years. You're here in the Hanukkah years. You're here where the motivation, it's not there. Why should I be in Eretz Yisrael? What's keeping me here? I could learn in America. In the safety of America. And even if a person says it's not safe anywhere, look, it's not safe in France, and it's not safe in New York. But it's Maisim B'chol Yom here in Eretz Yisrael. Why are we staying? And one of ours, they're all ours, but one of ours that touched us deeply, in a personal way, was taken from us. And this Thursday night, every yeshiva in the country, from our genre of yeshivas, is going to be going to Beit Shemesh for an Azkara for Ezra Schwartz, Hashem Yikom Dam. These are the Chanukah years. The years where the motivation is not so easy. And it's easy to stay on your phone and to follow United Hatzalah and to be given every single update of every single murder. And it's not killing, it's murder. Every single murder that's happening here in Eretz Yisrael. Where's the motivation, Chevra? You tell me, where's the logic to stay? There is no logic. Rav Kook said, if you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to kill Melech Cheshbon. It was one of the Malachim that we had to kill before we came here. His name was Cheshbon. What's Melech Cheshbon? You have to kill your logic. It's not logical. It's not logical. How do we survive? How do we persevere? Nobody knows the secret to Jews. Mark Twain didn't know the secret to Jews. We don't even know the secret. Now listen very carefully, Chevra. There was a king. And the king had a beautiful crown jewel. And the crown jewel got a crack in it. And the king, he desperately wanted that his crown jewel should be whole. And so he hired every jeweler in the land, please tell me, how can we fix this jewel? And nobody could fix a broken jewel. A broken jewel is a broken jewel. You can't repair it. It's not like a window. And he brought from all over the world, and it didn't matter. The biggest expert couldn't do it. Until there was one old yid who came to the king, and he said, I can't repair your jewel. I can make it more beautiful than it ever was before. But you have to trust me. The king said, okay, I'll do whatever I can. And this crown jewel, it had a big crack right down the middle of it. And he takes out his tools, and he starts to scratch into the diamond. And the king starts to freak out. What are you doing? You're making it worse. I told you, king, you have to trust me. And he starts to etch away. And surely, a picture starts to come out in the diamond, in this crown jewel, of a beautiful tree. The crack in the middle of the crown jewel was the tree itself, and the etchings were the roots and the branches and the leaves and the flowers on the tree. Because a yid knows how to take that which is broken and to find beauty, to find light in that which is broken. Why did we keep searching for oil? Because that's what a yid does. But maybe you're not going to find it. I'm not going to find my oil this year, Rabbi. Maybe I'm not going to find my oil. And I feel like as hard as I'm trying, Rabbi, it's not enough. But Chevra, what drew you to that pursuit to begin with? What brought you here to Mevaseret this year? To Har Yerushalayim? What brought you here? It was because you guys do dig deeper. You are searchers. You don't know why you're searchers. It's not logical that we should still be searching. But we search. We search like a bird flies. We search naturally and without reason. We don't understand it. And as many times as we fall, we keep going. Whether it's fall, like Rav Yedidya said, we turned on our phone in the middle of that Tosfos. Whether it's fall that we mamish weren't able to wake up for davening, or even if we did wake up for davening, we couldn't access the neshama of that davening. Whether it's fall that we mamish did the terrible aveira and we feel like the Rabbeinu Shalom totally is not interested in us anymore. We've all fallen. And yet we search. And yet we come to our Rebbeim and we come to our Chaverim. And we say, it's just not working for me. I can't do this anymore. And the next day, you do it again. Maybe you fall apart for a week. The next week, all of a sudden, the guy's back. We are searchers. We are diggers. We're looking for that oil. And we don't know why. And the Teretz is because it's not logical. You're not supposed to know why. That's the way the Rabbeinu Shalom created you. It's not logical. It's not cultural. It's not tradition. We search because there's something inside of ourselves that demands that we continue to search. So that's why they looked for that jug of oil and they knew they would find it. How did they know? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom told us they would find it. He said, you put in the effort, I'll do the rest. So what burns the wick, Chevra? Not the oil. And that's why the oil never diminished. And this answers one of a million answers of the kasha of the Beis Yosef, which everybody knows. Which is why do we celebrate the Nes Chanukah for 8 days? The first day wasn't a Nes. The Teretzes we celebrate all 8 days because the oil never diminished. Because Yiddishkeit teaches us an unbelievable principle, which is it's not the oil that burns the wick. It's not the oil that burns the wick. You think it's the oil that burns the wick. You think that's the reason you're motivated. That's not the reason you're motivated. It's something much deeper than that. That's why, forgive me for saying this, all the answers in the world to all the kashas in the world, they're not really answers and they're not really kashas. Person comes to yeshiva and he says, I want to want to. Come on, everyone in this room knew exactly where I was going. I want to want to. What does it mean, I want to? There's two types of want to want to. There's the want to, I'll sit back. And if you'll motivate me, if you'll motivate me, if you'll answer my questions, then I'll want to. Chevra, I give you a haftacha, it never worked and it never will work. Then there's a yeshiva man's want to want to. A chassid's want to, which is I want to and I have no idea why I want to, and I'm going to do everything I can to discover why it is that I want to. I'm going to do everything I can to discover that there's a spark of the Rebbeinu Shalom in me that will not allow itself to be extinguished. I don't know why I want that, but I want that very deeply. So Rav Glanz gives the most unbelievable tefillah shir. Everybody walks out of that tefillah shir every single time and they say, Rebbe, that was an unbelievable tefillah shir. Rav Glanz gave me a whole new insight into Dveikas Vashem. And the next day, it's not so easy to daven. And you walk out of Rav Steiner's shir at night. I've never heard anything like that in my entire life. It was so inspiring. And 2 days later, you find yourself in a funny place doing something that you never thought you would do. Why? Because all the answers in the world is not what touches a person very deeply. That's just what removes a little bit of the lichluch, a little bit of your kasha. You have to get a teretz to, that's fine. A yid lives from deep within himself. And maybe, chevra, that's why throughout the entire story of Sefer Bereshis, we keep seeing Chanukah. Because you know, you could read Bereshis and it's a great history book. You could read Bereshis and you could say, there was a man whose name was Abraham. Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael, and they didn't like each other so much, and Sarah kicked Ishmael out of the house, and you're the progeny of Abraham. They had a child named Jacob and an Esau. Never for the life of me understood Esau. And you're the product of Jacob who fought with, I don't even know, how do they say Laban? Yeah. Laban. It's a bad yogurt. Certain yeshivas, you find them throwing it at each other. You're part of the story. It's Jewish heritage. It's Jewish culture. How could you abandon your Jewish culture? I'll tell you, Chevra, it's getting easier and easier to abandon your Jewish culture. Look around the world today. Jewish culture. Person in my family, she married a guy. Her kids were Jewish. They grew up with a Hanukkah menorah and a Christmas tree. And when it came time for those kids to get married, do you think they married Jews? Jewish culture doesn't keep a person. And you could sit and you could talk to them, Chavra, and believe me, everyone tried. You could sit and talk to them and you say, don't you understand that this is abandoning the Jewish mission of 3,000 years or 4,000 years or 5,000 years? And you know what they look at you and say? It's your culture. I'm an American. You're hacking me a Chinook with culture. Or, Chevra, you could see the Chanukah that's deep, deep inside the story of Bereshis. You could see that the message of Bereshis is to dig a little bit deeper, to find that Nekuda Hapnimius, that Rebbeinu Shalom that's inside of the story. Or you could read it like a history book. You could look at yourself here in Israel this year. I went for my gap year to Israel to be part of my heritage. Or you could look a little deeper. You could look at the same Tosfos that you saw for all those years in high school. And you could write down all the notes, but it doesn't get you where you need to go. Because we're not here to learn another Tosfos and to learn another Rashi. We're here to find the Ribbono Shel'Olam and what the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants from us. And Chazal tell us what the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants from us. And then Rashi said, and he wants it like this. And Tosfos said he wants it like that. And we're masber the machlokas because we care deeply about what Rashi and Tosfos say. And we're not interested in relevance. Relevance is because the Ribbono Shel'Olam told me it's relevant and I'm deeply interested. I find profundity and depth and meaning in a svara. And when there's a Reb Chaim or a Ktsois, and you have to work hard to get through every single tnuah of the Gemara to get to the Rishonim so you could see the lamdas. You're not reading a book. It's not science. It's not math. It's not history. It's not a subject. It's your life. Ki heim chayenu v'oirach yameinu. It's your life. And you can't explain it. And for those that have tasted it, you know it's me'ein olam haba. And for those that have not yet tasted it, you know you want that. You know you would love to be able to do that. You would love to be able to see, like, why is that guy up till 2 o'clock in the morning struggling over that Rambam? Why is a Shver Rambam so interesting to him? You say a Maisa about Rav Soloveitchik. We're at a Fabrengen, it's appropriate. He went to the Rebbe's Fabrein. Say a ma'aseh about Rav Soloveitchik, that his mother walked into the room one time, and Rav Soloveitchik was a little boy, he was 10 years old, and he was crying. And she said to him, Shefala, why are you crying? And he said, because Tati is giving shir in the house. He used to give shir, people would come to the house, he was giving shir, and there's a Shver Rambam. And nobody's answering the Shver Rambam. And he was crying, what's going to be with the Shver Rambam? And so his mother said to him, don't worry, Tati always answers for the Rambam. But even if he doesn't, one day you will. You know what bothers me about a Shver Rambam? You know what keeps me up at night about a Shver Rambam? It's the Ribbono Shel'Olam's Rambam. It's the Ribbono Shel'Olam's Rambam. The Rambam was telling us, what does the Ribbono Shel'Olam want us to do? You got to find that Or HaPnimi in every single thing that you're doing. You want to roll into davening and expect to have a meaningful davening, you roll in. Chassidim HaRishonim were there beforehand preparing. What were they preparing for? They were preparing for transcendence. They were preparing for something great. However, we all look for that greatness. I always tell this Maisa, I found myself at a Knicks Heat game. And the game was close, and the Heat were on a streak. I think they had won 22 games already. It was, how long can they go for? It was the closing minute of the game. And there was one player who everybody knows, the fook in the head, can't get his life together, J.R. Smith, who threw a pass. And everybody in Madison Square Garden groaned as soon as it left his hands, because we all saw what was happening. LeBron saw it coming from a million miles away, and he intercepted that pass, and an unbelievable thing happened. At around the half-court line, everybody in MSG stood up. We're all rooting for the Knicks. But everyone stood up. And he charges down the court, and he throws down one of those classic LeBron slams, and everybody groans as the game is over. And I'm sitting there wondering, why did we all stand up? Because we're all looking for transcendence. And in that Yavandika way, that's a transcendent moment. In a physical way, he stole the ball at a critical time and he dunked it. In a Yavandika way, it's a transcendent moment. And in a Jewish way, we understand you can have those moments all the time in your Yavis. All the time. By a Fabrengen, by a Tish, by a Davening, by a Morning Seder, by a Night Seder, by staying in the Beis Medrash post-Night Seder, by coming to the Beis Medrash Friday morning, not letting a Shabbos go by without Zmiris and Devrei Torah. It's to find the Or HaPnimi, to find that Or HaPnimi. You have to learn the story behind the story. The story behind the story is that there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam and he loves you. And I'll finish by saying over a Maisa that I heard from Rav Moshe Weinberger, Mashpia, Rav Vesh Kodesh from Woodmere, said, Mstam, you've heard this from me before, but to, kedai to hear it again a million more times. A couple came to his office. They're complaining that they're having difficulties in their marriage. They sit down. And Rav Weinberger turns to them and says, okay, who wants to go first? And the husband says, I'll go first. He says, I don't understand what she wants from me. I make a parnasa. I take out the garbage. I change the light bulbs. And the whole time she's talking, the woman's sitting there with her arms crossed, shaking her head. And the husband says, you see, even now, it's never enough. It's never enough. And Rav Weinberger turns to the wife and he says, what's your side of the story? And she says, Do you think I married him to take out the garbage or to change a light bulb or even to bring home a parnasa? I married him because of the way that he looked at me under the chuppah. And when's the last time that he looked at me that way? When's the last time that I felt deeply connected, that there was that ora pnimi in the relationship? It's taka a big zman of choshech. It's a big zman of choshech. And yet we're sitting here in the Vaseret. We're adding on one light after another after another. The biggest schus in the world is I get to see you guys living Chanukah. Another light, and then two lights, and then three lights, and then four lights. One guy asked me for permission. He needed to go somewhere. I said, I'm giving you permission. I want Shachas for a month. Shachas for a month. He looked at me and he said, that's what I want too, Rebbe. We all want that. Now it's just a question of quieting the noise. Listening to the, not even to your heart, but to your soul. Listening to the voice that's deep inside of you, that pintaliyah that's just saying, dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Thank you.
Shalom. Yeah, I love it. Yashar Koyach, a big Yashar Koyach to all the guys that helped set up. A big Yashar Koyach to all the guys that mamish pushed through till the end. To Rav Glantz, for coming, and especially to Rav Levy for the beautiful music that he played for us.